My name is Casper Jacob Hollingstead. Many of you around town may know me by the nickname I was born and raised with, Skip Hollingstead. I am very proud to claim that I am the grandson of the late Amy Hollingstead. As we celebrate this week the remarkable accomplishments of Native rights advocate Elizabeth Paratrovich, myself and others thought it would be fitting to bring to light the accomplishments of another outspoken pioneer of the Native rights movement in Alaska, one who also has strong ties to the Petersburg area, my grandmother, Amy Hollingstead. I would like to read to you an article I acquired from the Sealaska Heritage Institute website regarding Amy's life and accomplishments that I feel reflects very well the contributions of this remarkable woman. I have contributed a few additional facts to the biography and some information provided by other family members, but this is basically how it reads. I submit to you the following. There are a number of individuals associated and credited with the civil rights movement in Alaskan history. These range from individuals such as Frank Johnson's 1930 boycott of segregated theaters, Bessie Quinto's tireless advocacy towards equal pay and benefits for natives working in salmon canneries, William L. Paul's fight for native rights and land, to Roy and Elizabeth Paratrovich's A&B and A&S leadership during the passing of the Anti-Discrimination Act of 1945. Another name that should be spoken of, alongside with these individuals, is Amy Hollingstead. Amy Phillips Hollingstead was born in 1901 in Haines, Alaska. She was the daughter of Henry Phillips and Sally Jackson. Amy was Tlingit of the Eagle Moiety. Her clan was Sauk-Wadee, which is the split killer whale seal clan. She is often remembered as a civil rights activist and leader in the Alaska Native Sisterhood and was referred to by some as the First Lady for the First People. She was widely known for using her quick wit and humor to make her point. Such is the time when she had finished listening to a Texas politician ramble on about why they should even consider listening to her side of the discussion during a hearing on rights for natives in Alaska. Growing impatient with the gentleman's demeanor, she replied to him, "Your argument reminds me of the cattle you raise in your fine state of Texas. You have a point here," simulating a steer horn with her finger on one hand, "and a point way over here," simulating the other horn with the other hand, "but in between is a whole lot of bull." To this day, her jokes are often retold during joking sessions in traditional gatherings. In Amy's youth, she moved to Sitka to attend the Sheldon Jackson College and afterward lived in Cake until moving to Petersburg. During the 1920s in Petersburg, Amy married Norwegian-born Casper Hollingstead Sr. Amy, with her husband, worked commercial fishing and raised, at one time, upwards of 100 head of cattle in the Point Agassiz area. During this time, they also raised 6 children together, daughters Mary, Gloria, and Gertrude, and sons Casper, Jonas, and Leonard. During the early 1930s, as Amy's children began to attend school in Petersburg, Amy became angry that the native children in Petersburg were forced to attend a segregated school. Since Alaska Natives had to pay taxes that went toward the public school system, Amy was able to force the closure of the native school in Petersburg, and soon Alaska Native children were able to attend the public school in Petersburg. Her oldest son, Casper Hollingstead Jr., was the first Alaska Native student in the Petersburg Public School. During this time, Amy became very active in the Alaska Native Sisterhood, ANS, serving in various leadership roles within the Petersburg ANS Camp 16, and later serving as Grand President from 1947 through 49 and 1953 through 1956. She was a supporter of the land claims movement as early as 1937. Amy was also instrumental in forming the Petersburg Indian Association in 1948 and had a hand in the formation of the Central Council Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska organization. During this time, Amy made it a practice to forcibly remove signs from businesses in Southeast Alaska that contained discriminatory language, such as "No Natives Allowed." Amy was an organizer of boycotts against businesses that discriminated against Alaska Natives or preferred to hire non-Natives. Newspaper articles speak of her efforts of enforcing a boycott of the Petersburg Movie Theater, which had segregated seating. The boycott continued until the segregated seating practice was eliminated. As Grand President of ANS, she made strong efforts to pressure businesses, such as canneries that sought to employ non-Natives, to change their policies and hire locally. She was active in the organization of bargaining unions of cannery workers and was on the fisheries board. She ultimately influenced reforms that were enacted at canneries in Hood Bay, Excursion Inlet, Pillar Bay, and Chatham Straits. Amy was active in the movement to abolish fish traps and in the protesting of foreigners fishing in Alaskan waters. She fought to improve medical care to Alaska Natives and had a hand in the establishment of the Mount Edgecombe Hospital and School for Alaska Natives in Sitka, Alaska. She forced the Bureau of Indian Affairs under Charles W. Olson to appoint a dentist for all the Southeast Natives. Amy also regularly corresponded and met with state politicians about the important political issues of the day. Stories of her abound, even while lounging in her bed, dressed in her nightgown and slippers, as state politicians, having made impromptu visits to her house while in town, sat at the foot of her bed, asking her advice on various Native issues and encouraging her support for themselves, knowing full well the influence she wielded, intentionally or unintentionally, with the Native vote. She was influential and instrumental in determining support for many of our past legislators, such as Gruning, Bartlett, and Egan. She was appointed the first Democratic committee woman by Governor Bill Egan. Her name even appeared on the stationery of the first governor of Alaska. Amy was an active member of the Presbyterian Church and an elder for many years, standing in as minister when the occasion warranted. On one occasion, when Petersburg had gone without a Presbyterian minister for some time, she repeatedly wrote requests to the head of the church to appoint a new minister to the Petersburg congregation, without results. Finally, using the wit she was famous for, she sent one last telegram that read, "Don't bother to send a new minister. It's more fun to sin anyway." The town of Petersburg got a new Presbyterian minister shortly thereafter. With her contemporary, the celebrated Elizabeth Paratovich, they both worked towards ensuring that civil rights were guaranteed to Alaska Natives. Amy Hollingstead was an advocate for Native rights until her death at age 72 in 1973. I'm Skip Hollingstead, and thanks for listening.